traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Get over it. Like, and meanwhile,
dude, come on, I'm your brother building a business.
Oh yeah, you're my brother building a business. You love to play both sides,
who's
bro.
What other side am I playing?
You play both sides.
What's the
like,
other side that I'm playing?
I'll partner with all of your enemies.
Are we?
Do you know you start every podcast stuttering? Yeah.
Welcome back to.
I do want to say before you even say that.
No. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing.
We got Jake Paul in the house. 7-1 boxer defeated Nate Diaz in a 10-round all-out brawl. He looking like a cheetah. He was so quick. He was so powerful in there. We saw him. Some of the critics are saying opposite, though. As usual, the haters are there online to discredit your shit, Jake. How you feeling, though, brother?
Man, I feel pretty good. I'm just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Just got the job done. Was waiting for like 45 minutes for you to get here.
Thank you. I'm happy you brought that up. That's what I was going to ask you about. You bring him up as an important guest, Jake Paul, 7-1, boxer extraordinaire. Yet you couldn't show up on time 2 episodes in a row to your own podcast.
I have an excuse, and it's a good one.
You always have an excuse.
I was getting mom's birthday gift that we got her. Jake and I went in on a gift.
We did do that.
And we got
and
her.
He did need to pick it up.
I had to.
That is true.
It's a good one. Pam, our sweet, sweet mother, wouldn't be here without her, is turning 60 years old. Great milestone in her life. And so we're going to her birthday this weekend to go give her a little something nice.
I'm really excited. Pam. Yeah. To go back home and visit Cleveland.
Yeah, it's always
to
fun.
Just chill. Finally get some time off to rest.
Yeah, you've been going hard for a while, Jake.
Yeah, nonstop. Only way to do it. Nothing to it but to do it.
And you get to go back to Cleveland, the place where you learned how to be a
bro.
Whoa, you can't sit. Let me say this
nice,
really quickly.
Nice.
If anyone can say that word,
no,
I can fucking say it.
No.
That's our word. That's
No, it's not our word.
Yes, it fucking word was bestowed upon us. It's a derivative.
It's a derivative, and you're guilty by default. Why do you think McGregor deleted his tweets?
He got Jake would say otherwise.
Nope, he does that all the time.
He got the text from the publicist that was like, "You can't do this, dude."
Over that word.
He was saying like our word and like other stuff, crazy stuff. Coked out of his mind, bro. Guy's lost it. He's really lost it.
Have you seen him on his what's the show Ultimate Fighter? He's the coach. Have you seen him like being a coach?
No.
Uppercut.
Right, you just go to uppercut, bing it. You get in that ding, ding, ding.
Hey man, what did you say? Some people are good fighters, but not good coaches. And I think he might be one of those. I don't even know if he's a good fighter anymore.
I don't think he is a good fighter. After I seen like what Nate Diaz did to him, hurting him, like.
You were telling me this on the plane.
Yeah, like, bro, like, what? How did Nate Diaz hurt anybody with his punches in his whole entire career? Fucking dropping these guys, hitting Connor. Connor's, like, wobbling in the cage. I could have stood there with my chin out and let Nate Diaz punch me as hard as he wanted to, and the shit didn't hurt at all.
Well, when was the last time they fought?
I don't fuck.
I know that I'm going to be the opposite. I always like to play the opposite side. Obviously, it was probably a little while ago. Maybe he had a little more power. Obviously, lighter gloves. Maybe a little bit more damage felt in the octagon versus.
Well, the heavier gloves are actually more dangerous.
They hurt. They hurt really
because,
bad.
Yeah. Because would you rather get hit with a 10-pound sledgehammer or a 5-pound sledgehammer?
I'd prefer neither, to be honest. If at
but
all
there's
possible.
Also a bigger surface area of the blunt. The trauma gets passed into a bigger surface area, which creates more of an impact on your head.
But maybe that's why, because with the smaller gloves, in the right spot, pinpointed, it could
so
hit that button.
So if you get hit
button.
In the button, similar to how Ramirez, the baseball player, hit the other guy.
Shout out Cleveland.
That was insane. Did you see the meme of you versus him in the ring?
I seen that, like them editing it together.
It was sick. This fight.
Wait. I just want to ask, because my one critique afterwards, you know, I'm always your brother, and I'm like, hey, can you do this for me? Can you work on this? And my one critique was that I
did get to see a little bit of your defense, but I wanted you, at least for this next camp, to work on your head movement. And the first thing you said was like, if you're not punching me hard, I'm not going to respect your punches.
Yeah, the only thing is like, obviously the punches are like scoring, but I honestly look at it as like, he's punching me right now and using a lot of energy and it's not hurting and he's getting tired from this. And that's what would happen. He would like go off in a flurry and I would let him do it. And then I would just be gathering up my breath to go beat the fuck out of him with hard punches.
Well, that pace you came out with in the first round. Wow. Let me just say, first of all, I'm a big Diaz brother fan, you know. Ed Paul brother fan,
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that pace you came out in the beginning, I was like, fuck, man, this is so one sided. He's going to knock him the fuck out right away. This is going to be embarrassing for Nate. His career is going to be ruined. But you stopped that pace, and then you fought properly for a 10-round fight, which... that's very impressive for anybody to do a 10-round fight. So props to that.
I thought it was over in round one as well.
And you're the same age as Nate. You're exactly the same age. You're 38 years old.
He did way better than I would have done.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, that's my joke for the show.
It was a good one. Right, I took
quiet now.
I took notes the whole time just because I knew we were going to end up back in the situation.
Are you going to do a brotherly fight now? You got the older brother. You got Nick Diaz. You got the younger brother. And you're going to go now do MMA rematch. That's... perfect. It's way better than you two fighting each other that you were talking about doing.
Whoa, that's
cool. Nobody wants to see that.
Actually, let's sweeten that pot a little bit because I know you've been having trouble convincing Nate to fight you in an MMA match. Why don't we get me on the same card and I'll fight Nick Diaz?
Doubleheader, brother versus brother.
Tag team.
MMA match, no tag team.
I'm happy you guys got MMA. Rid of the idea of you two fighting each other because nobody wants to see that. Your two brothers. I think that was just the younger, because when you're young, you guys probably fought so much when you're young that it was just like, okay, we'll just do it for money now in a ring. But when you get older, you appreciate your family and you love them again. And now you don't want to do that. And now you're both filthy rich and so you don't even need to do it. But, you know, I like that you guys support each other. Now you flew all the way in. And, you know, that's cool to see. That's heartwarming.
Yeah, we had to squash that narrative. Yeah. It was definitely something of the past, but rightfully so. You got to be young and stupid because then you have to mature from that. But everyone has stupid ass shit that they think of and do when they're young kids.
Well, also, I think we're in an era where we kind of were willing to do anything for views and clicks. I mean, I can definitely say that for myself. And when your priorities are skewed in that way, like fighting your family member was an option that was on the table. I was like, all right, sounds entertaining. And I'm sure it would be. It'd be fantastic. So does this mean that we could like spar? Could we move around with
there
each other a little bit at least?
I'm down. I think that's really good preparation.
Probably.
For a lot of people, like, that's a really good idea. I'm down. Let's do it. 100%.
You should do a real MMA fight together behind closed doors. Just you two
and a
referee.
Just beat the shit out of each other.
But you got to work on that, you know, striking and cardio for wrestling together, and that you two would be perfect to go at it. You could do those up kicks like the little brother kick, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to talk about this fight a little bit. I didn't know what to expect. I don't know if you knew what to expect or what. You probably went in with a certain strategy, and I noticed Nate's maneuvers and his strategy looked a little different than anybody that you fought. His guard was extremely tight. It seemed extremely tight the entire fight. And he was doing these lunges and immediately taking your reach and that powerful right hand out of the equation because he was getting inside that powerful striking distance. How did that change your strategy as the fight progressed?
Well, yeah, look, I knew he was going to pressure and come forward. He just did it in like an unorthodox way, but I just kept on like sticking and moving and just like outboxing him and using like my punch selection to open up his guard. Because if you're here, boom, throw a hook, then he brings it back here, then I bring the two. So I was just using my punch selection to open him up and just letting him walk into punches, really, like just... okay, you're going to keep on coming forward. And he was getting jabbed up the whole entire night. So that's kind of what I expected. And I knew it wasn't going to be some like super sharp boxing because I knew it just was going to be a brawl and be a street fight and just to thug it out. And picking him apart, yes, and using my footwork to move around. But I knew that it was just going to be a dogfight and who wanted it more.
Let me ask you something, and I need an honest answer. Are you at all disappointed that you couldn't get him out of there?
Yes and no. I think when I hurt him in the first round, that's why I turned it up on him. I saw he was hurt. I hurt him to the body, then hit him with a hook all at once. So he went, And I was like, oh, he's hurt. And boom, put big punches on him. And when I seen he didn't go down, I was like, okay, like this guy is a fucking zombie. But what I'm happy about is the fact that I went 10 rounds and tested my cardio to the max and felt super good. And that experience and that confidence now, going 10 rounds, throwing 500 punches, that to me is such an amazing experience and is going to help me in the next fights moving forward. And as long as I got the knockdown and keep my 100% knockdown ratio for all my opponents, that's what I'm happy about.
And for the bettors on Better that betted on it.
Well, 100%. It was the second most betted fight in the history of boxing.
Nice. In general?
In general.
Or on Better?
In general.
Oh, shit.
How did it do on Better?
Better, better. We had a picks game. Better went to number 3 in the app store for sporting apps, which is huge. It went above ESPN. It went above all of these massive like DraftKings, FanDuel, all of them. We were number 3 ahead of all of them. Had an amazing weekend. Tons and tons of downloads. Blew it out of the water. Blew our expectations out of the water. And the downloads are still coming in. People loved the product and are still using the app. So I don't know. That to me is what I'm most happy about, is the success of that. Because we just launched Better Fantasy, which is in 24 states. And now the product is like more readily available. And now this is the test. Like, how many people can we get to know about the app, download our fantasy product? We have the best fantasy product, 100 times multipliers. No pushes, and we want to share that.
Going with this right now, I think it's fun.
Well, I think it's great, dude. I think it's awesome. You get to build a business based on something you're doing that is so organic to you. I think it's fucking cool.
No, and I love it. It's my passion. Like, I've been building this company now for 18 months, and like now is when we're off to the races because we're in 24 states. Before, people would download it and be like, "Oh, I can't play," but now we're in California, Texas. All everywhere. So and it's going to keep on growing. So it's just really cool now that I can start to promote it more, because I wasn't promoting it because I was like, we're only in 2 states.
Yeah.
So now more of my fan base can use it, and the NFL season's coming up. They can make picks all season long.
But
so
you still
got to
get those big statewide gambling licenses. No.
Yeah, we're still getting them.
Those are
because of fantasy. Now we're in 24 states, going to be in probably like 35 to 40 by the end of the year.
That's good. I think that's enough.
That, you know why I said that, right? Obviously, like, I would.
What? Why?
No, I was just saying, just because.
Was I my Barstool ambassador?
Yeah.
It's my little brother.
No. I was kidding. I was just fucking around. I brought
He's
it
an
up.
He's an owner. He's an entity.
I gave
owner.
Him the lob for it.
Yeah, download Better and play Better Picks. Yeah, I know. I never really like have promoted anything on here. It's like,
that's what you're here to do, bro.
Yeah.
I love how you guys have. I'm sorry. I just think it's funny that you guys have the same entities in competition across all of your.
It is actually
it's
fucked
weird.
Up.
It is weird.
I own a drink company. And an ambassador to a betting company, and you own a betting company and are an ambassador to a drink company.
It's so funny. And your business partner is his biggest fucking enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which we'll get to.
And multiple. Also, Dana.
Technically. UFC, too. Are you guys doing this on purpose?
And then I'm like the owner of like the PFL, and like all of it's weird.
Even the fact that you found a stray cat and then brought it home, and I found a stray dog. And brung it home.
Wow. But you know how often this has been happening like our whole life with like random ass shit.
So weird.
Just all the time.
You might want to go to Jake's next fight. The good news is today's sponsor is SeatGeek. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events every single day on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Even KSI and my fight night, it'll be available. They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is graded to make sure you get a good deal. Look for the green dots. Green means good. Red means bad. Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. And SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps. You know what came through for you guys? Use the code LOGAN for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That is $20 off your first purchase with the promo code LOGAN. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. Shout out SeatGeek. Back to the show.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. If you look at our lives, like, oh, you broke up with your that girlfriend in this year at the same time, and you went sober. Like, didn't you do a sober year when you were 26?
Same age as you.
That's so fucking... I didn't know that. Like, I didn't... I obviously knew it, but I'm not thinking like, oh, Logan did it when he was 20. Like, I decided to do that in the same year that you decided to do that.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Made it 11 months. I made it 11 months of being sober.
And vegan.
And... No, vegan was only January.
Oh, that went fast.
And it was horrible. But 11 months of being sober, and I was like, damn. Why the fuck am I doing this?
What made you want to get sober?
Then I stopped like late November.
Man, I just like knew that I wasn't at my full potential and that it was like limiting me from accomplishing my goals. And I realized I wasn't as focused in the gym. And so I actually decided to go sober before I lost, which is ironic. Like most people were like, would have lost. And like, damn, it was because I was drinking. I like knew I was fucking around too much. And I was like, I just need to give this up. It's not helping me. Nothing bad was necessarily happening, but it wasn't necessarily good. And it just want to have a clearer mind. And I think I was like abusing it a little bit and just like having too much fun.
You're going to be an elite athlete. You know, you got to cut out all those things that are going to take away from that.
The demons.
Exactly. Yeah, but you see a lot of elite athletes still going crazy.
What I was thinking with like Nate, like you can't be taking it serious if you're smoking weed technically, but he smoked his whole career.
I don't know if I call him an elite athlete.
I know.
In the MMA space, he certainly was.
The first person that comes to mind is Adesanya.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has a good-ass time. I think that dude lives an awesome life and still trains at the top level and kicks everyone's ass. So, like, it's possible to have a balance.
I think some people can get away with it. But, obviously, I don't think I'm one of those people.
You're an extremist.
Yeah, exactly.
You're an extremist.
You rode in on a tank to the arena. That was sick.
You called Nate Diaz a zombie before. And I should preface as well, too. I went through my tagged stories of Nate Diaz before. I'm a fan too of his MMA career. He was an elite MMA fighter. He was an incredible fighter in the space. You know, took down Conor, a bunch of other guys. Well,
his second to last fight, he fucking almost stopped Edwards.
Leon Edwards.
And became the champion again.
In the fifth round.
That's what I'm saying. In the fifth round.
But how with strikes, with a 1-2.
But how did his punches hurt anyone?
Well, anyways. So that's what I was going to ask you. So along with Zombie, I was taking notes of different characters that he appeared to me as during the fight. And I took some different notes. I have listed that he reminded me of a character from The Walking Dead. At certain moments, Jake was hitting him everywhere except for the head, and he wouldn't go down. You got to hit him with a headshot. The perfect headshot to take his head clean off, and he'll die. The zombie will die. Mm. There were moments where he was getting around your punches and getting inside and throwing what looked like cat paws, declawed cat paws at your face. I've never seen a puncher throw so many open-handed. Like they looked
that's
like
called a Stockton slap.
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. There was times when he looked to be an NPC. He was doing some very strange.
He was
NPC.
Trolling. He was trolling you.
I also have a character from Groundhog Day because the guy from Bill Murray, when the alarm would go off and you would wake up because he would kind of go to sleep and catatonic for a few minutes and wake up. And then I also have a comedian and I want to bring that out to you. Was that pissing you off at all? He had me laughing, bro. Some of the shit he was doing in there was fucking funny, dude. Like he was doing some dumb shit. Did that throw off your approach at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like. It was actually detrimental to him because anytime he like had momentum, he kind of would like stop to troll and it kind of like ruined it. But I realized in the sixth round that he was doing it like just to take a break. And as soon as he started doing it after that, I jumped on him every single time and hit him with big shots.
Dad was pissed that you weren't doing that before.
There were some moments where he was turned to the side and I was like, bro, he could... kill him right now.
Yeah, but also some of the moments that he was trolling, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a breath right now. I'm going to take like a breath or two. So, by the way, it's like being ready for a whole 10-round fight. I'm winning the rounds. You want to take a break right now? Okay, I'm going to take a breath or two too.
And also the shit you would have got if you knocked him out when he was looking outside, all the comments would have been like, oh, he's fucking... he wasn't
no.
even...
You're
talking about the internet wouldn't take that?
I think he would have gotten memed. That's like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When cocky fighting goes wrong, and Nate Diaz is doing his thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought you almost did it a couple times when you jumped on him and hurt him. He really is a zombie, Jake. When you were punching him square in the face, a few clean uppercuts, were you demotivated at all that he wasn't going down?
I just couldn't believe how much damage he was taking. And especially to the body, bro. Anytime I would hit him to the body, he'd be like, and like, bro, didn't care. And he'd be like, let go, motherfucker.
Would you say right now on the show that Nate Diaz has that dog in him?
Yeah, for sure. And I walked the dog like I said I was going to do. Put him on a leash, bent him over, embarrassed him, knocked him out of the ring. And that's, it's fun in games and stuff. And like, after he's acting all nonchalant and people are like, oh, he didn't care to be in there. He was just there for the check. Like, shut the fuck up, you stupid people. Of course he wants to win a fight. Of course he goes to win every single fight. He's in there saying, talking shit the day before, saying I can't fight. And I bent him over on the ground, embarrassed him, put him on the canvas. And now he's still like talking shit, saying all of these things, blah, 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 acting like he doesn't care. Because of course that's how he's going to play it. He's going to act like he doesn't care. But really, I embarrassed him. I embarrassed the legend.
Is that why you're still going so hard on him? Like, it sounds like you're still kind of angry, because I thought after the fight, you're supposed to be cool and stuff. We even got to see real Nate in the ring afterwards when your cameraman fought the DAZN cameraman. He turned into a grandma and he did one of these. He goes, stop fighting. They were fighting. You guys be cool.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool. There's like respect and everything, but I just hate how the narrative online like changes all of a sudden after the fight. Before, it's Jake doesn't have any cardio. Nate's going to drown him. And then I out cardio him, out punch him, beat his ass, not put him to the ground. And then everyone's like, well, he's not a boxer. He jujitsu.
Well, you're used to that by now. That's nothing new to you. There is so much shit coming out of this fight before and after it. Drake bet $250,000, on Nate Diaz, to quote him. I can't bet against a Diaz. I always knew you and Drake to be, you know, at least pretty good acquaintances. Did that offend you in any way?
No, not at all. I actually liked it because I wanted more people to get rowdy on Nate's side of things and for Nate to have a lot of support going into the fight. It's all like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? It's like Drake's going to do whatever he wants. Like he's a man, and he's been a Nate Diaz fan and likes the Diaz brothers since he first started watching fighting, and as everyone, you know. And so it only makes sense for him to ride with Nate. So, and he bet on me and against Tommy and then lost. So I think he was probably like, I don't know how Jake's looking. Like, he didn't look that good last time.
So even when you win, you just continue to lose Drake money.
Yes.
Damn. Yes.
A million things. KSI. We gotta get into this. You guys have been going back and forth. Obviously, as soon as the fight ended, it went straight into his normal kind of ridicule. You know, your guys' normal back and forth, talking about his, you know, fight, what's going to go on there, exhibition this, exhibition that. What is your mind telling you about this KSI versus Tommy Fury fight?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a real fight because it's an exhibition, like, first and foremost.
Hold on a second.
It doesn't count. No, it doesn't count.
Yeah, but it's still a real fight.
He's not doing any. It's not a professional fight, though. So to me, it doesn't matter.
It's still a real fight.
It doesn't matter, though. It's like, it's an exhibition. It's like, it doesn't go on anyone's records. The stakes aren't as high because of that.
I'm trying to give you a comparison.
I'll give you one. Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay. Everyone wins? Are they both going to win at the end? Is there even a winner declared?
Are you saying because the stakes aren't as high, because it's not on and by the way, I think it is. It's, there's a stipulation here. There's a reason why it's not going to go on BoxRec, or because it's not an exhibition.
But none of KSI's fights do. So to me, it's not boxing until they make it professional fights.
But they are professional fights.
No, they're not.
But they're exhibitions. 10-ounce gloves with no headgear. I'm on the same card. It's not, mine isn't an exhibition. I consider it a real fight.
Consider it, or it is.
Yeah, it's a difference.
I will be fighting my opponent with 10-ounce gloves and no headgear on, and I'm going to beat his ass. He feels real.
With a decisive winner, and it will go on your record.
It doesn't go on your record.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't know if the number on the record, not being there, doesn't make it legitimate. everyone will know. Everyone will know what happened.
Well, in a way, I kind of.
But no one knows like KSI's record. Like, no one does even. He doesn't have a record because
that's fair.
That's like part of the sport. That's what makes it a fucking sport. Is like keeping record of these things and like that's how many knockouts, how many this,
but,
how many
but also,
that.
But also, he's a person who has changed the landscape, as are you, and his career may not be that of numbers. It might not matter. Everyone knows.
Yeah, but that's why like I don't like to be in the same conversation because what I'm doing is like real.
That's fair.
Well, here's where you do come back in the conversation. He has basically said or has said that if he beats Tommy, he can retire as the king of this level of boxing because he took down someone that you haven't or couldn't at the time.
That's such a cop out. It's such a cop out. How many fighters in the history of the sport have beaten someone and then lost to a different guy who beat that person?
He
like,
might not
want to
be
a fighter,
dude. He's not. I don't think he's like.
No, but the thing is that he's talked so much shit to me, and him and I have beef. Regardless of anything else, it's me and KSI that everyone wants. That he says all of these things, talks shit so much back and forth. I'll beat your ass. I'll beat this because you do that over there. That's cool. Go and do your thing. Get your money. Do the best you can. I have nothing against that. I hope KSI becomes as big as he wants in whatever space he wants to be big at.
Even the beverage space.
Whatever he wants. Yeah, crushing it. Congratulations. Do it. I root him on. Me and him have to settle our beef, and that's man versus man. He can go do whatever he wants, sure, but if you're going to run away from me and hide behind I did this to this person, and you did that to that person, and you're not this, that's a bitch fucking move. And I expect nothing less from him. I expect nothing less from him. Okay, cool, you want to do whatever it is that you want to do, no problem. We can fight whenever. I'm going to rematch Tommy Fury whenever, but also, none of this is my goal. My goal is to become world champion and fight the best of the best and to continue boxing 2, 3, 4 years from now when a lot of these guys are going to stop. That shit is cool. I lost. Yeah, I'll deal with that as a man. I'm upset. I'm going to get better from it. But at the end of the day, where my end of the road goal goes, it has nothing to do with KSI.
What do you think is going to happen in KSI Tommy Fury on October 14th on the Prime card? I'm also on in the co-main event. Biggest event of the year.
Your face is so stupid.
Fighting Dylan Danis. You fucking scumbag motherfucker.
Did you bleep it or did that?
I'll have announced it today. Yeah. We'll get into it. But yeah, what do you think is going to happen? KSI v. Tommy Fury?
I think Tommy Fury stops him in like less than 5 rounds probably.
I told you this on the plane and I just feel like the simulation goes the other way. In this weird life that we're living in, it just makes sense that KSI wins that.
Nah, there's no make sense. It just can't. It can't happen. And this is just my opinion. You guys are fighters. I'm not. Tommy Fury has proven to be a tactical boxer.
I don't disagree.
Boxer.
In my head, I'm like that. Totally makes sense.
He's a fighter, and JJ's a fighter, which is why I'm so interested in that fight. But in my eyes, and I you know, I'm just going to say it how it is, he goes into that the same way Jake goes into it, fully capable of beating a fighter, but may get outboxed because of a little bit of a lack of experience or a little bit of need for more time to garner that tactical boxing skill, which he will.
The logical part of my brain agrees with everything of that.
Yeah.
But in this weird simulation we're living in, I just feel like KSI is going to get
that
dog in
him. But if he does that, and we as a community do not, by way of boycott or whatever, force him to fight Jake. Like, bro, like that has to, if he beats Tommy Fury, bro, that fight has to fucking happen. And by the way, like everybody makes so much money and it's so good for the community. And I know Jake, I know Jake will sign any fucking contract. Like he'll sign any line. So like if he beats Tommy Fury, like that fight has to happen, dude. Like at least if he wants to, as you said, make the claim of being the A side. If he wants to just settle and retire as a winning boxer or fighter or crossover sportsman, that's fine. But to be able to claim that he's a better boxer than Jake Paul, he has to beat Jake Paul, in my opinion.
Agreed.
He is a great fighter.
So if he stops, KSI is still potential for a fight?
Yeah, all the fights are there regardless of the outcome of that fight.
If he stops KSI, I'm going for Tommy's throat. I love that vengeance storyline.
Yeah.
I don't want to put the energy into the air, but like, Tommy Fury's on my fucking radar. I have him in my scopes. I wanted him when Jake was fighting him. And I'm going to be back in the conversation, which I'm fucking stoked about. Yeah, dude. October 14th, I'm fighting Dylan Dennis.
You just jump him, too, at that point. The both of you just...
Yeah, I mean, I'll do something.
No, I'm going to finish him off first. I got to handle that business first.
We'll see, bro, because you definitely sniped the Nate Diaz fight from me. And I've been so lenient in giving you your opponents. And I think it's
It's not your option to give me my opponents. You haven't fought anyone. You don't fight. You don't fight real fights. It's just not your option to give me my opponents. You're not even a fighter. Like, you do exhibitions and lost like 4 years ago. So it's not your option to like give me my fights. Me and Nate Diaz have been talking about that for years. And then you popped up and were like, no, now it's my turn. I want that fight. And then start talking shit and then try to like get the fight in Saudi Arabia, like on the microphone and like trying to like jump in on all of these things.
I think I'm better than you. And I think Nate chose you for
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A reason. And I think everyone knows that.
What do you mean?
Even in here.
But what have you done to prove that you're better than me?
Well, I don't know. Went toe-to-toe 8 rounds with the greatest boxer of all time. What do you think happens if you fight Floyd Mayweather?
I would knock him out.
Bro.
100%.
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
You think because you lost a fight to Floyd Mayweather that you're better than me at boxing?
You said I won the fight.
I, in person, when I was watching it, I thought so. But then, yeah, watching it back, it's like, okay, I've had like a biased point of view, like sitting there in person.
This is the first time I've heard you say that.
Because we never talked about it.
Switching up like that? The whole internet saw you repeatedly throughout the past 2 years say that I won that fight. And now you're saying the opposite?
Because I'm rooting for you. But like, if you want to know the truth, yeah, like I'm going to ride or die for you on my shield. Yeah, 100%. And afterwards, when I saw that you lost it on TV, people in interviews would still be like, what do you think? I'm not going to be like, no, I watched it back and I thought he lost. No, he fucking won because you're my brother.
I don't disagree. But the fact is, I went toe-to-toe for 8 rounds with the greatest boxer of all time. And you're not able to see how good I was in that fight. And yes, I'm in the WWE currently, but I like boxing. A lot. And I think I'm really good. And I'm excited I get to show it again on October 14th on the Prime Park in Manchester with the co-main event. KSI versus Tommy Fury, Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis. But I yielded, bro. And I'm tired of not being picked because you're an easier fight.
Is that what you really think in your head?
I'm Jake.
I think you have more to prove. I think you have more to prove. I think you did go toe-to-toe with Floyd Mayweather.
I don't disagree.
I think you need to still prove to the people, to the community, to the world that you have the ferociousness to put a man down.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're biased, unbiased, whatever. But once you sink your teeth and draw blood, put a man down, this conversation changes dramatically. It gives you...
I don't disagree with you. And that's what I fully intend to do on October 14th. But I'm saying... You had your chance with Tommy. You did. You had it, right? I have not. I've not gotten to eat at all. You know, like I thought that Nate fight locked up. You took it. I said, okay, go for it. I wanted the Tommy fight.
I didn't take a fight from you that wasn't necessarily yours. It's whoever's it's in the ethos.
But people, motherfuckers are avoiding me. They are avoiding me or picking someone else, and that's obnoxious. And everyone secretly knows why. No one wants to say it because I have an 0-1 record and I wasn't able to knock out the best fighter of all time. But I think it's fucking obvious, bro. I'm very athletic and I've gotten the hang of boxing in the past 2 years after beating Fighting the GOAT. And I'm excited to show that. And granted, do I still have something to prove? Absolutely. But if for whatever reason it doesn't go in KSI's favor, the story arc, the vengeance arc of avenging my business partner and brother is right there.
I think you just want to beat Tommy to be able to say that you're better than me at boxing.
Well, I'll never fight you, and I don't want to fight JJ again.
But I think that's more so what it's sounding like it is. But it's crazy for you to think that people are avoiding you.
But Nate chose you over me.
Why
would Nate do that?
But Ariel Helwani asked him to his face. And he said because his brother hasn't fought anyone in a real fight. He hasn't knocked out any MMA fighters. He wanted the most real, professional, legitimate fight. That's what he said.
Nothing that I do in the boxing.
And that's what he said. And that's what he said behind the scenes too. But that's also what he said behind the scenes too.
But he
said, "Hey, Nate." His manager said, "Hey, we're not fighting Logan. Nate wants this real fight." That's exactly what they said.
Because I do WWE. Is completely unrelated to my boxing career. It just is. And people know the pay-per-view numbers I put up. They're fucking big, dude.
I'm a great promoter. What pay-per-view numbers, though?
1.2 with Floyd.
Yeah, but that's Floyd. 500K that's
with
Floyd.
KSI 2. 1.1 with
KSI 2 is 300K.
Every WWE event that I'm in has been their highest grossing and most viewed.
I think this is going to go in circles. I think,
but it's,
listen,
it's free.
Listen,
like it's a free event.
For a fight.
No, WWE's people.
It's $999 on Peacock.
No, that's not free, brother.
For a fight right now, for somebody to break over, to cross over into the boxing space, Jake Paul to seasoned veterans of combat sports makes more sense as a fight. It just does. They may have questions about draw potentially because they don't have a record to call upon besides Floyd, which some of the points he's bringing up matter. What I'm going to say is once you do this next fight, you have a lot more leg to stand on. You have to go in there. You need to... I don't even need to say this. You need to do what is obviously going to happen to fucking Dylan Danis. And then you can go and build that proof of concept again right? It's like, dude, this kid's been on every fucking Sports Illustrated, every ESPN magazine. He is the face of boxing right now.
So that's why I'm curious. Because you are the face of at least this weird like influencer crossover. Whatever you want to call it. Because you are the face of it. And I can also sell an insane fucking number of pay-per-views, and I'm not in my potential opponent's head. Wouldn't it be an easier fight to fight me, and yet they're still choosing you?
What do you mean?
Wouldn't you think, oh, one of them has a losing record, and he can sell the same, if not more, pay-per-views. One of them has a winning record and can sell a good amount of pay-per-views as well.
But I've proven to sell more pay-per-views consistently, time and time again. I'm active. I have a promotional company. We do, you know, bigger deals, huge guarantees, revenue.
Too, I don't buy it.
What do you mean you don't buy
it? I just don't think that
it's legitimate. We have a better production. We are doing it on a consistent basis. I'm active. You're inactive. You don't have the momentum in the fight world. You're not as respected as a fighter. You haven't won knockout of the year. You haven't won breakout athlete of the year. You haven't done any of these things.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think that he would go?
No, they want the biggest fight. They want the biggest fight.
It would still be the biggest fight. And you
No. That's why none of these. That's why you're not
one of the top 10 grossing biggest fights ever. What are you talking about? Especially now after the WWE promotion angle and the work I've been doing there, I've garnered a fan base that's going to want to see me perform in boxing as well.
Well, we're going to see.
Watch the numbers that the Prime Guard does on October 14th. KSI versus Tommy.
Even when you sell on this next event, you can't even take credit for the numbers. That's the thing. What do you sell? That's the okay. Cool. You did 1.8 I could say I did 1.8 million with Tyson.
We may never. Wait, what?
I did 1.8 million with Tyson.
Because he was the undercard for the Tyson.
Exactly. Card. So it's like, you could say all of these, I could say these things, boo, eighth biggest event ever, cool. Like,
but because,
I've done the same
but
thing.
Because that's
and
the
it's
way,
more expensive than that fight.
But because that's the way I weave my business, I am strategic with my partnerships and amplification. That's part of the shtick. I don't miss. And I won't miss when we sell pay-per-views, ever. I'm a sick promoter and an easier fight, which is why I'm confused why anyone would choose you. An easier fight. I just don't get the
logic. To his point, he also has an active business team that is approaching these deals constantly, 24/7.
That was a big mistake.
A promotional arm, a production arm that goes up to these to this person's camp and says, this fight is going to go down on this date, XYZ, and be handled in XYZ fashion.
Well, and relationships, you know, bro. Like, people don't like to work with your team. People hate your team.
I could say the same thing.
They hate your team.
You could say
the same thing, but the evidence doesn't show that. So it's like,
let's chill out. You have a fight coming up. Let's talk about it again after that fight. We're going in circles here, and it's getting fucking personal.
No. I disagree. Nikisa banned DAZN from mentioning or bringing in Prime to the stadium. They said I would get kicked out if I brought a Prime bottle. That's fucking ridiculous, dude. Do you think I would ever ban you from promoting any of your shit at any of my events? That's ridiculous.
That's because of who the partner, the competing partner was for the event.
Texted us four times with stipulations listed out, paragraphs.
Yeah, get over it. Like, and dude, meanwhile,
come on, I'm your brother building a
business. Oh yeah, you're my brother building a business. You love to play both sides.
Who's
bro.
Yielded
What's
here?
The what other
you
side?
You play
I'm
both
who's
sides.
What side am I playing?
You play both sides.
What's
and it's
the
like,
other side that I'm playing?
I'll partner with all of your enemies. Like, I have,
bro. My
have
life is all, my life. Your life is your life. If you want
to
create,
you love to play both. You love to play both sides.
You I'm explaining my sides. Rationality for one
and
the
it
other.
Caused issues in our last event when we had other betting partners and drink partners and you walked out with it with the betting and the drinks.
Is it so illegal it caused to issues. Wear what I'm wearing?
It caused
Come
issues.
Come on, it's not a you can't tell me what to wear.
What do you mean?
Well,
what do you mean?
Well,
you can't tell
I'm
me
not,
what to wear.
Logan.
Yeah, but if they're paying
chill,
us,
chill.
If they're paying
one
us,
fucking second, chill.
If they're paying us millions of dollars and they say, hey, but we don't want this person to be doing this stuff at the event with a competing
That's
brand.
That's ridiculous. I couldn't bring in a Prime bottle. DAZN, who, by the way, on the Misfits card, KSI's event, promoted the fuck out of your fight against Nate Diaz. DAZN was not allowed to promote the Prime card. That's ridiculous. Whose ask was that? It was Nikisa's, dude. He's Nikisa's on your team. He's not on Team Paul. He's on Team Jake. And we're a family. And he knows that. And so, yeah, bro, he doesn't get along with anyone either.
But why would I want to promote his event? It's KSI's event.
Because I'm on it. I'm on the
yeah,
undercard.
Yeah, but they could promote you versus Dylan, but you guys weren't even announced yet.
But I'm on the card. We announced that.
Yeah, but this is the thing is like it's all it, like you understand why, but then like you just don't want to accept the reality.
No, the reality is the tables were turned. The Misfits event promoted your fight against Nate Diaz and you refused to promote KSI's fight.
Wait, but,
against,
but if against, they want to if Misfits is on DAZN and they promote our event that has like okay, cool.
But our fight is on DAZN too. And by the way, that's super fucking whack of DAZN as well. It's not just you guys. I think it's lame that they yielded to whose ever request that was.
No, because it's our event. We're in control of what goes on there, of course.
I just think it's lame. It's and also
I'm not gonna promote their event. What the fuck? Why would I do that? That's stupid.
Because
as
they
fuck.
Did it to you. And it
yeah,
all
because
helps.
We're because I don't know why the fuck they would do that either, because they're not good at business. They don't have that out in their fucking contract clause, fucking idiots. That's their fucking problem. Stupid fucks. We're smart, diligent. We think of fucking everything that goes on
if
in all of our
smart,
events.
If you were really smart, you'd know that we are all doing this. This isn't an or space. It's an and space. We don't have to be competing against each other and blocking out different logos and not letting me do certain things and a brand I'm building. Like, bro,
the brands. That's the brands getting involved. I have no say in that. I don't give a fuck. But if they request something and they're paying millions of dollars to be the title sponsor.
But the request is this. Your brother can't bring a Prime bottle into the stadium. And if he does, he will be escorted out by security.
You wouldn't be escorted out.
That's ridiculous.
But you have a Prime card coming up soon. Obviously,
so why do you care so much about like...
Let me pose this question.
Why do you care? What do you care more about? going to my event or having a Prime bottle in your hand.
I care that it was such a big deal for your team that I'm trying to build a multi-billion dollar business, and your team, who I see every single day,
at whose event?
Had an issue with it.
At whose event?
Your event.
Exactly. My event.
I'm your brother.
Yeah, exactly. So respect what's going on at my event.
And I did.
Okay.
I thought it was ridiculous.
Okay, but that's just the name of the game. It's business.
And you have a Prime card coming up. If you walked in with a Celsius headband to it, you probably would say that's unacceptable.
I don't give a fuck. You're getting paid millions of dollars by Celsius. Yeah, they're our competitor, but like, dude, come on.
But if you request it, if it's different because I'm not in control.
Who signed the contract? And if they did, was there a contract that said, was I in the contract that was signed
with
Celsius in the zone?
Because
that's fucked up. You can't sign on behalf of a third party. The way that we got text from Marcos sure sounded like someone signed a contract that said, Logan Paul, if he shall come to this event, will not have Prime. You can't do that. You can't tell me what to wear. You can't tell me I'm going to be escorted out of the venue if I bring a certain thing.
Technically, they can.
Technically, they can, yeah. But I just found it crazy.
I feel like I'm at my friend's house and their parents are fighting. I don't even know what, you know? Well, should
so
I go home?
Bro, so what do we do? What do we do? Where do we go from this? Because I saw this coming.
Yeah, so did I.
So, I mean, how are you feeling?
Well, about what?
Just the conversation we just had?
I think you have a lot of trauma to unpack.
Probably.
But I've been wanting to ask all my friends, is Marcos here? I mean, whatever. But I've been wanting to have this conversation with you a month ago. It just camp and you're traveling, etc. But yeah.
Where do you think my trauma stems from?
Do you want me to be really honest?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. Because, I mean, we could beat around the bush, or I could just be I don't know. I don't know if there's the right place to do it.
Yeah, but I know there's fucking 20 people watching.
Well, there's more people watching right now also on Impulsive on the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Maybe it's an off-camera conversation. Because, I think this could be some real takeaways. Yeah.
Can I just tell you something that's odd and funny to me? It's not funny, but we've had Jake on the show so many times, and there's been so many moments where he's exhibited similar emotions or desires to argue on the show or whatever, and then we've come down to this need to unpack his trauma. And it's weird to now kind of watch the brothers in different seats saying yo, there's some stuff that you need to look into. It's not saying anybody's right or wrong. You guys are just talking about stuff, but at the end of the day, you're brothers. At the end of the day, you guys, I don't need to fucking tell you that.
I also think
love each other.
Always.
But that's where I get confused, though, of playing both sides. Because you love to play the brother card when it's convenient. But then it's I want to go I want my get back at Tommy Fury. And you're no. I need to do my career. I need to. I've been sitting on the sidelines. You're taking all these fights from me.
Does that worry you at all space?
Wait, but I'm your brother. Then you're no, you're not.
I do this based on balance as best as I can because we're in a space where we're going to overlap. There's not that many us's walking around in this combat space, right? It's me, you, KSI, maybe Tommy if he's in the conversation, but there's going to be overlap, right? Nate was a part of the conversation for a second. You got it. I yielded. Even with JJ, I wanted Tommy. JJ and I talked about it. He said he wanted Tommy. All right, I yielded. I'm tired of fucking yielding, bro. I want to get back in the conversation. And at the end of the day, if you want to fight Tommy Fury again, fucking fine, right? I respect that you want to be the boxer in the family and you have this career that you want to pursue. When can I fight Tommy fucking Fury, dude? When can I do that? Ever?
I just think the storyline is there. We started off, got a contract, made it all happen. It's a massive event. My plan was Nate Diaz for years, and then you kind of go away in the fight world, and then you pop back up all of a sudden and are I'm ready again. But
yeah.
and it's doesn't necessarily work like that, I guess. I don't fucking know.
No, that's fair.
But I go for Tommy. Nate was already on the back burner. Boom, it just happens. The deal comes together.
You gotta go for Tyson.
It's like
I do MMA with Tyson.
Well, just like conversations like with Floyd, like that's a fight that you got. Like, who cares? Like,
why did you fight Floyd?
Why wouldn't I?
I think you could beat him.
After we tried to make it happen, he's just a nightmare to deal with in business.
Like, you don't say.
Not professional at all.
Don't say.
Yeah, why would he do it? Not get paid?
Nah. Because you could also get a much healthier percentage than I did. I got fucking gypped in that fight.
So this conversation changes dramatically after he wins this next fight. In my eyes, the answer to this question is, why can't I? Once he earns it, he has much more to fucking bring to the table. Like, put a man down, come back and say, yo, this is my next fight. This is my strategic plan and how I want to move in the boxing space. And then all of a sudden you guys have a conversation. This has been his lane, his dedication, his dream, his drive, everything. And so I get it. Like, similarly to you in WWE or with Prime or whatever it is, having somebody then come up to you as you're on this route to guaranteed strategic success that you're dumping your entire fucking life into and be like, yo, I'm a comeback in now. I can understand why he has defenses there. I understand it.
But yeah, once you and it's like trying to like even snipe the Tommy Fury fight like after I lost to him, like right there on the spot, versus like letting the storyline play out, like you versus KSI. You draw, boom, let it play out, let it see what happens. Like,
I mean, bro, obviously my initial instinct after that loss was like, let me avenge my brother. I don't think that's insane to think that.
I like that fight. I love that fight. It's incredible. I actually love that storyline. Is incredible. Fight. I love that fight.
It's good. It writes itself. I get you on a rematch. I totally get it. And maybe I was a little late on Tommy. Actually, no, I wasn't, because I gave it to JJ. I was being a good fucking partner, and I'm you know, he's active, I guess. I don't know.
Is he more active than?
But you? I want to make something clear, because I want to make something clear, because there is this narrative online. You know, you're supporting your brother's enemies. Like, dude, you're living your life. You're your own entity. And so am I. And we have a lot in common. We are also extremely fucking different. If I had a beef that ran its course with someone and I don't want to have that beef anymore, and I actually get along and like this human and want to build something, if I grew up loving Dana White and the UFC and I get a chance to part, like, I'm going to take these opportunities. And I'll always be a ride or die, no matter what. But I don't know if I always have to yield and bend my personal ways because we are brothers, and that's the sole reason.
But this is exactly what I'm saying. You're literally painting the picture of you are playing both sides. When it's convenient for you, we're brothers. But then when it's not, you do the exact opposite of like, but we're completely separate. So like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do as well.
I'm building a business.
But that's what I'm saying. You play both sides like very well, like extremely well.
I don't, to me, it doesn't feel like I'm playing both sides. And maybe that's why you're saying I do it extremely well, is because that's just the reality of the situation. And people can see that both sides. You're Jake Paul. I'm Logan Paul. We are different people. We have different interests. We have different friends.
But then like, but even just 15 minutes ago, then all of a sudden you're like, but we're brothers.
And we are brothers. That sentence can end with, and we are brothers, yes.
But where does that rank? Because sometimes you let it rank down here, and sometimes you want it to be number one when it's convenient for you.
When
Prime can't go into the building, we're brothers. When you want to partner with Dana White and KSI, you're your own entity.
I think when we as brothers no longer become additive to each other, and it feels like you or I are trying to take from one another, and I don't believe I've ever tried to take from you, whereas you, I feel like, have tried to take from me, at least maybe not you, but maybe your team. That's when I feel like it falls apart.
Like this being in Netflix documentary, like millions of views, me starting the documentary saying I'm drinking Prime, me posting about Prime as soon as it launched, carrying it around everywhere with me until I got a deal.
No, and I appreciate all of it, but like, the stadium thing rubbed me the wrong way. But rightfully so,
because if there was a number one sponsor, like let's say Nike was sponsoring the event and was like, hey, Logan's going to be on camera, can he not wear Adidas? Then it wouldn't piss you off.
From a business standpoint, that makes sense, Logan. It does.
I
The person that's going to get the most attention in the arena besides Jake is you showing up to the fight.
My identity is my identity. My suits and passions and businesses.
But you can certainly press pause on it for one night to just support Jake and then walk out.
Yeah,
and I understand
and
that.
And I absolutely will.
But you did.
But do you see what I'm saying? Is anything I'm doing hurting you?
That sometimes, yes, it causes issues because of my brand partner, yes.
Because of your brand partner.
Yeah.
You know how many times Barstool has hit me up and said, yo, don't fuck with Better? And even if they did, I'd say that's my brother's business. He's building it and he's trying to make a big company. Like,
yeah,
I don't care.
And owned IP are definitely different. You in my eyes, like if there was ever like a question of where the yield ends up, like it would go in honor of Prime or Better.
But they don't ever say like don't fuck with Prime. This it's just like there's literally like they've made two requests in this whole entire relationship. It's literally don't have Prime in his impulsive shot and don't let him bring it to the stadium and make it in all the shots.
It's reason in my eyes from brand side's reasonable.
I think I started this because I'm the one who brought up the Tommy stopping.
You just fucking got them through 8 months of fucking therapy. So I know.
Well, look, when it comes to the fighter thing, I think you guys both need to have that blind confidence that you're going to be the best. And if you don't have that, then you probably shouldn't be a fighter. You should think that if you go through a training camp and you give it your all and you're at your best, you should be able to beat anybody that's in your weight class. And that's normal. You guys should respect that about each other.
But where does it stop? Caleb, right here. At the press conference after your fight against Nate Diaz, you said that you'd like to go up against Canelo Alvarez. What gives you the fucking right to call out a 59-2 boxer, one of the greatest of all time, who's currently the best boxer in the world, when you've not yet proven yourself as a boxer that can win those type of fights?
I
need the clips.
Because three years ago when I was calling out Nate Diaz and all of these big names, Anderson Silva, all of these people, and they said, you don't have the right to call them out. And then I manifested it, got the skill in the gym, got to their level and above, and then beat them. It's literally just, I'm repeating the playbook now. I'm predicting what's going to happen three years from now. I'm going to get to his skill level and beat him. And I have a weight advantage, a size advantage, a height advantage, a reach advantage. He's super skilled. I just went 10 rounds. Me and Canelo can go 10 rounds. Like, come on.
You face off with Canelo today. What happens?
I would lose. But in 2 years, I have one of the greatest self-belief systems in the world. And I know what I'm capable of. And with this new team, the experience I'm getting in the ring under the lights, I believe in 2 years I can give Canelo a serious fucking run for his money.
I don't disagree. I think your ability to get better at the craft because of the work you put in is exceptional. I think it's actually one of the things that made Michael Jordan as good as he is. I watch the Netflix series The Last Dance. I watch it before fights. It gets me excited and inspires me. And the one thing I noticed about him, it wasn't necessarily like his athletic ability. Yes, he was seriously exceptionally athletic and he worked his ass off. But he had no ceiling. He was able to keep getting better. Even when you thought he was the best he could be, he was able to keep getting better. And I think you might have that. I think the world now is also realizing that. And you had a documentary on Netflix that just came out, and I didn't realize how many people hadn't really known you or about the things you've done, and you have turned on a whole new audience to that of Jake Paul. Your Netflix documentary was trending like top 10 for a while. It potentially still is, Untold, the series of Jake Paul. What are your overall thoughts on now having that on your belt as well?
Yeah, it's crazy. And a lot of people texting me and saying how much they enjoyed it. Like people from all walks of life. I'm getting videos from people that have never even knew of my name. Like people I respected growing up, and it's just pretty surreal. And they all fuck with this story. And to me, you know, I thought it was a good piece. I think that there's so much more to the story that wasn't put in there. And I don't think an hour and 10 minutes could even like do it justice. I think there's so much more story to tell, and I'm excited to do that one day. But for the most part, it's cool that people can get this glimpse into this life and kind of see me be a human and see the things that I struggle with. I think I'm known as this like crazy, arrogant kid. They see the media headlines, they see all the shit talk, but they don't see the person that's like behind it that actually shows up to work every single day. And I think it made people shed a new light, I guess.
You're happy with it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm happy with the outcome of it. I think I would tell the story differently. Like, I don't think they don't see it from my point of view, and there's so many things that are left out, to be honest. But, and it's too short. Like, it's kind of just like skipping a rock across a pond. It just touches these points, but doesn't like really go further into them, doesn't show like the processes, the work, doesn't reveal like a layer. To me, the doc is everything that's already out there in the media that was just put into one piece.
Condensed.
But which I think is important, because a lot of the messages I got were like, I didn't know that about your brother. I didn't know he did all these crazy things. Like, dude, seeing all of that in 1 hour, even for me, and I've been there for all of them, was so emotional. Dude, you've done some crazy shit, seeing knockout after knockout after knockout. And the thing people forget is each of your fights was an opponent that could have beaten you, and that's why they were so exciting.
Yeah.
At the time it was like, well, I don't know, and then afterwards it was like, well, obviously he won,
yeah,
you know. and it just like met with the harshest criticism and then you silencing them every time in the most victorious fashion. It was beautiful. I got mad emotional, dude. And it made me extremely proud, and you should be happy with it. I know you weren't necessarily super stoked seeing it for the first time, but
yeah,
it's a W.
Well, thank you. No, and when you said that, it made me feel better about it, because I respect your opinion super highly in terms of like the content and creative, such like that. So I felt really bad about it coming out. Mm-hmm. And then when you had that opinion and other people were like, oh no, it's really good and all this stuff, It definitely made me realize that I was probably overthinking it a lot. I don't know, maybe, but I definitely think the story has so much more to it, and the story is still evolving. But yeah, it's a good piece.
Episode 2 comes out. It might have come out by the time this airs. I want to watch that as well. It's Johnny Manziel, who was at your fight, Johnny Football, who's got a crazy fucking story. There's a lot of people at your fight. I don't even know if you noticed. Lance Armstrong, you probably didn't see any of these people. Johnny Manziel, Masvidal was sitting front row, which was funny. But
Dana White was in there with a wig on, a toupee.
He snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you. How do you end up with a black eye when you're the one who used the brass knuckles in a fight?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how any of that happened. I why do I look worse than you? And you had a fight, and I had a wrestling match.
And you had brass knuckles.
I don't know. Did you get you got punched in the face?
He kicked me in the face. Jesus. I think it was a kick in the first 2 minutes. But I liked it. I like that actual pain.
You got to be careful out there.
So I've learned, and I've gotten better with the mechanics of my wrestling moves. That SummerSlam was fun. I was really tired in there. I was exhausted for some reason. And especially like trying to focus on the match and perform while I'm tired, and also knowing the weight of the night ahead. Because that wasn't even the most exciting part of the night for me. You know, we gotta fly to the next flight to Dallas to get to. I literally exited the ring, still sweating, huffing and puffing, into the SUV, onto the jet.
Straight to Dallas.
Made it with time to spare. Yeah, it was a night to remember, dude.
Most watched SummerSlam of all time. Yeah. Highest grossing, most social views, highest merchandise sales. I mean, every single possible accolade.
I think
Roman Reigns keeps the crown.
I think we got the most viewed social clip as well. Not we. Well, I was in it. Samantha Irvin, the ring announcer, who was my opponent's fiance.
Yeah,
I was like kind of taunting her. Beforehand, I was like, you know, you're gonna be saying Logan Paul's the winner after I beat your man. And there's a video of her announcing me winning the match after, and your winner is Logan Paul. And she has just a look of torture and sadness, despair on her face, but it's still delivering
that energy of a ring announcer. And I think that clip got like 30 million plus views or so. Like, people really responded to our match, and Ricochet is so good.
Super athletic.
The guy's so good. Like, he made it easy to look good, and it was a fun match, man. And I'm interested to see how this conversation continues in my WWE career. Story arc happens with this boxing weaving in, you know, because I want to hop back and forth. I don't know if it's ever been done, you know.
I don't think it's ever been done
like a
before.
Dual combat sport back and forth.
Yeah,
it's cool. I want to find a way to weave the conversations, especially since WME just bought WWE and the UFC. It's all kind of like we're all becoming family. It's interesting.
Which is another good question. By the way, I got an accolade myself coming out of this last weekend. I got the highest liked comment on the photo of you jumping off the top rope because you were so high.
What'd you say? You said, I wish I was that. I could be that high.
No, I said, I'm a crack at it. He's even higher than I was in 2006.
No way.
Yeah. And it was got 3,000 likes.
Oh, so, nice. You know, nice.
We all out here winning.
Yeah.
Congrats, bro.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I'm going to try to cash those in to pay rent this month. MMA for... Well, you specifically, because you also, and I got a couple more points here. You called out the potential of Nate Diaz in the MMA octagon.
Smart cage.
Does that, I mean.
What's that?
The PFL smart cage.
What is that?
That's the PFL. That's where the fights take place.
What's the shape?
It's a smart cage.
Oh, so the shape of a smart.
What is the shape of the
cage? It's circular.
Oh.
Meet me in the circle.
I mean, that's a real ring. Like when we say boxing ring, it's not a ring, it's a square.
It's a squared circle.
It's called a smart cage.
Yeah.
What's smart about it?
Have you ever drank smart water?
Yeah, it's.
And you just feel like super smart after. When you fight in there, it's your IQ goes up.
Oh, it's like alpha brain.
It has electricity flowing through it.
Could you beat Nate Diaz in MMA?
Not right now. But in a year, maybe. But honestly, I will it into existence, and I will work so fucking hard that I could do it. And the best part about it is the MMA matches obviously start standing up like a boxing match. He can't hurt me with punches. His kicks aren't going to be strong. If his punches aren't strong, how is his kicks going to be?
What about that guillotine? Because he tried it on you.
Yeah, of course you can get a guillotine on someone when they're not expecting it in a fucking boxing match.
Did he actually cinch it in?
Yes.
No, he was really choking.
Yeah, he was actually choking me.
What would have happened if Duke starts tapping? Like, what if he submitted you? He would have been
disqualified. No, I would have picked him up and slammed him.
Were you pissed?
No, I mean, it was the 10th round. Like, he's being funny. But yeah. It's
but
like,
you lost like a couple breaths that you would have had.
Yeah, but like, I was fine. It was honestly, it was funny. But if I can prepare for it, the crazy thing about it, I've done the calculations in my head. We start standing up. I learn kicks, right? I learn how to defend kicks. I'm beating his ass standing up clear as day in boxing. He tries to get close to me. I can just stick and move. He tries to take me down. My takedown defense and takedowns are better than his. I have way higher wrestling experience than his. He's not going to be able to take me down. He's slow, so I'm going to see the shots coming. Boom, block the shots. He can't take me down to submit me. It becomes a standing match. 3 5-minute rounds, easy. I just fought for 30 minutes. That's only 15 minutes. I can work twice as hard in half the amount of time, expend twice as much energy to keep him away from me while punching, not letting him take me down, and he can't. I will just simply have to watch out for his guillotine because he has a really good guillotine.
So you've already fought this fight in your mind.
No, 100%. And that's why, seriously, with 8 to 9 months of training, I know I could beat Nate Diaz in MMA.
8 to 9 months of training?
Yeah.
I appreciate your ambition. It's inspiring.
I will say this. Here's my kudos for you. Hardest working person I know. And honestly, like, hopefully that came through in the doc, because whether it's sobriety, whether it's camp, never-ending camp, whether it's running every day, whether it's breath work, whether it's the 9,000 other layers of shit that goes into you being the best you can be when you get into that squared circle, like, dude, there's I, I'm not around a lot of fighters, but I don't know anybody that works as hard at anything as you do, bro.
Thank you. Well, thank you. That means a lot. I think that's a testament to, yeah, like where I've gotten. And that's one that, honestly, like, not, I mean, not to harp on it more, but that's one of the things I was upset about with the Netflix doc, because I don't think it showed how hard I work.
Not
enough
training.
I think it just, like, like even just like showing the rigorous monotonous schedule like over and over again for like 1 minute, it could have done it in like 60 seconds, but it didn't really like reveal that behind the scenes, which I was disappointed about. Whatever. But yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yep.
Saweetie with a ring card?
Yes.
How?
It was this like idea. I'm friends with her manager, and she loves fighting, like being around it, being involved with it, and we just like found a way to make it work, and they did the deal with Fansly, and so she like launched her account on Fansly as a part of like being a ring card girl with it, and so it like all tied together.
Oh, she's about to get money, dude.
Yeah,
because there was a lot of eyeballs, combo, and a lot of eyeballs. If she likes fighting so much, would she ever fight Astrid Wett?
Maybe
Saweetie versus Astrid Wett on the prime guard.
So what now? You got that girlfriend?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend.
I got to meet her. She's cool.
She's really cool, nice. Bro. Super
very,
nice.
Very nice. And very equally sweet. Driven, which was awesome to see.
Yeah,
bro.
Super hardworking. So dedicated. Around like all year long, training twice a day. Super inspiring. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just gonna take some time to chill. Honestly, I've been going hard. Need to like reflect on some things. Gonna be working on some YouTube videos, like still posting weekly, still doing BS every week or every other week, and growing better. Have a lot to focus on there. I've been like absent from all of my business calls. I like stopped doing all of them for this camp because I realized I was spending too much time and energy on it. So back to the business calls, back to the business meetings, and the grind. Yeah, just I don't
working
know.
Them kicks.
Yeah. Yeah, like if we can actually pull it together, that's what I'm gonna have to literally start training MMA, which is hilarious.
You guys should just start kicking each other after the show.
Can I ask one last personal question? Sorry, because we may need this in there because we only have 6 minutes of usable footage from the show. You got an extremely hot hip-hop artist, Lil Durk. I couldn't have said that in a whiter way. To walk you out to your appearance in that boxing program. That was cool. And how'd you do it?
Yeah, me and Durk have been cool for a long time. We've always like wanted to do something together. And the stars just like finally aligned where he was free, didn't have any shows. I was having a fight. And he just was down to do it. And we just made it a thing. Yeah.
He's dope.
Yeah, he's so super dope. Cool guy.
He's super conversational. With those rappers, sometimes I'm kind of... Some of them can be pretty bland, you know, trying to be cool guy. He was conversational. He was cool, relatable. Yeah, yeah.
He's had my back in like a lot of different random instances and just like always been super loyal to me. And like, yeah, he's just a great guy. Great, great guy.
The Voice. And he announced his deluxe album that's dropping soon. I wish I had the name of it. Almost Healed, yep. Deluxe album dropping soon. I want to make sure that was in there for Pete for Unnecessary Balling.
Let's go. Shout out Pete.
Shout out Pete, because I got to run into him at the fight, which was cool. But yeah, that was dope to see. And then a question for you, because we could get this to 8 minutes, is in the crowd right near where Durk was sitting, you were sitting, and that was your second fight of the evening. There was an actual in-crowd altercation that went down. I don't know if you saw this, but there was someone from the opposing aisle who tried to get at Logan Paul in this audience. They tried to put hands on your brother. Logan, you could run us through it, but there was a Greg Paul involvement. There was a bunch of people involved in the brawl of the
night. I ran into it. You were like, Jeff, let's get out of here.
I wanted to get right out.
I was like,
oh, and more importantly, I see action. Neil was.
You remember I came up to you? I was like, yo, behind you. Whatever that means.
Just a goon trying to make a name for himself, you know?
I thought he hit you with a chair in the eye.
No, that was Jake's friend that Jasper. Full-on WWE picked up a chair and threw
shout
it
out
at
Jasper,
him.
Dude. That was sick.
I said, that's respect.
Yeah, someone had to do something. I was surprised he didn't get dropped.
Bro, first off, he went to smack dad in the face, and it was the weakest strike I've ever seen.
I don't even think it landed.
In my life. And Greg with one hand like taps him and he sprawls out over like eight chairs and tries to get up and the cop was coming in. I could tell he had bad intent and I don't know this guy. And it's the middle of round nine. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he was trying to fight someone else too.
I'm curious, like when he goes back with his boys, is he cognizant of the series of L's he just took? Like instead of being like, yo, we fucked him up, bro. We went in there, gave him business. Like was he like, yeah, that didn't go as planned. Yeah, I got knocked over.
I don't even think someone like that cares or like comprehends reality. He's probably like an NPC.
That's why I said just a goon trying to make a name for himself. Respect.
He took out so many chairs.
So many chairs.
Bro, I've never seen. Because
he was full spider. He was full spider.
And the chairs are like attached to each other.
So he couldn't get up.
They were just falling over. It was like watching dominoes fall over, bro.
Just these things happen. These fights are rowdy. I will say, coming from a WWE event, we're like, yeah, the fans go fucking ape shit, but I feel safe.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked into your arena immediately after, and there's an extremely different tone of fandom.
Yeah,
they are aggressive. Fight fans all for some reason think that they can fight.
Yeah, 100%.
Yo, you gotta be fucking in there with the uppercut. Shut the fuck up. You have no idea what you're talking about. It just feels like not safe to be there.
Well, yeah, it's a hostile environment of people. Like Nate Diaz's fans are exactly like Nate Diaz. They're punks, so like they don't care. And there's like 15,000 of them. Their energy's feeding off each other, and it's just like these like. People like just ready to fucking grab their dicks and be like when I walked in the press conference, there was dudes like
we saw girls
and I was like yeah dude girls. I was like, bro, like dicks. You're like 35 year old dudes like in the crowd, but they actually it was like this filming for their fucking five followers.
They got you paid, bro. All right. That's it. I want to wrap up.
Any more on Dylan Danis? Is this dude fucking coming to the fight, bro?
You should tell me talk about that.
That's my concern.
Is he coming to the fight, bro?
I'm convinced he's not going to show up.
Put a clause like, that is so deep in that thing, like he loses an arm.
The clause is this. If he pulls out because of some sort of injury that he fakes, a doctor of our choosing has to verify the injury, and then if he is indeed faking it, he has to pay $100,000. There is a pull-out clause.
And he has $100,000.
No, that's the other issue. He's broke. This guy sucks. He's the parasite of the MMA and combat world. And that's why I took the fight initially, because, inshallah, if he does show up, I get to be the one.
Yeah, to finish him off.
I get to be the one to take an eraser and remove him from existence. His name will never be uttered again. He'll die that night twice. Physically, and his name, his legacy, it all disappeared. Legacy. That word can't even mean the same sentence as Dylan Danis. But I figured he's a good opponent because he's a punk. He's claiming he can fight, but he never shows up to fights. But if he does, we're gonna put him to the test for sure. And I'm angry. I'm pissed off. You can see, dude. I'm fired up. I believe in my boxing ability. I like the idea of taking over two sports at the same time. And October 14th is gonna be fucking insane. It's gonna be a night to remember for sure.
Hey, man. But if he fucks up, if he doesn't show up, doesn't it fuck up more than 100 grand worth? Doesn't do more
so
than 100,000 worth of damage?
Yeah, but we'll have backup, Sweaty.
You should have in the clause like you get his Instagram password or something.
That's
you take
idea.
Over the social media.
You know what's gonna be tricky with Dylan? Is he is a troll, right? And we're gonna have a little bit of a troll battle. But one thing he does and says is anything. He makes everything up. And a lot of it's fake.
Fake DMs. Yeah, like, creates fake DMs and all
fake
types
DMs,
of crazy
that all fake?
Shit.
This,
yeah.
That. It's all fake. So some people will believe what he says, and then I'm going to have like a fact checker on board.
Community
to like,
notes.
That's real. I'm going to have to community notes Dylan in real life because he just makes shit up, and I'm going to be like, fuck.
You should create the thing now. Just call it a fact check.
Fact check? Not true. Yeah.
Dylan Danis fact check.
If he shows up, I'm hesitant because does he deserve this clout? Does he deserve this attention? Absolutely fucking not. Does he deserve to get decapitated in round one in the first 15 seconds? Absolutely.
Bro, you got a job to do, bro.
First round decapitation.
Bro, please stop. Not this again. You got a job to do, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But one job this may affect, and I'll just say it. You're going back into camp. And I wanted to talk to you about this. There's a chance that maybe you have to focus all of your energy into the camp. And there's a chance that maybe impulsive, has to maybe whatever, right? Ben, I wanted to ask you this. If you go back into camp and we need to get some shows done, is there any chance that I could ask for the hand of the second Paul to sit in for those episodes as the host of Impulsive? He's the only other person whose name fits on the name of the show.
I mean, the answer is of course. I just don't know if he'd do it. He's busy as well.
He has his own show.
He's doing shit and he has his own show.
You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is intro the episode, piss off the guests at one point during the show, and then sign off.
Why don't you give him your fee? And I'll give him my fee as well. And so he actually gets paid for his time.
I think it'd be funny to do for like one or two episodes. I'd be down actually.
You guys would crush it.
I don't know if I have, like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but it just depends when. I don't think I'm going to be like super busy before then, but it'd be funny actually.
It could be my dad as well. You know, he's
oh yeah, or Pam. Oh,
no, she got remarried.
Any other Pauls as of right now?
I have an Uncle Jeff and Uncle Jim.
Nina's like basically there.
She's not legally there yet.
And the audience loves her.
She did great.
Obsessed with her.
Yeah, you crushed it, babe. You crushed it.
Oh, we were talking about you.
Yeah, they liked you. She waved.
Hey.
Well, that was a hot episode.
Yeah, that was hot and heated. Jake, I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Thank you, man.
As always, thanks for giving us your time. Yet another therapy session online in front of 20 people in a warehouse and six, seven cameras pointed at us.
Sorry about that.
Make sure to download... Fill in the blanks.
Download a better.
We love you guys. Mike, Jeff, thank you guys for coming to Miami to do this podcast.
Of course.
It was fun.
Hit that subscribe button.
It's my job.
You sons of guns, we love you. We'll see
I literally have to be here.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.